You know, we all have to make choices. It's a part of life. When we got up this morning, we had to make some choices. What time am I going to get up? Well, I woke up before my alarm, and I thought, I don't think I want to get up when that goes off. So I thought, I'm going to change it. No, I don't want to do that. I'm going to hit the snooze, maybe once, maybe twice. I had to make some decisions. Do I eat first or do I get ready first? Do I eat? What do I eat? Decisions that we make. What am I going to wear? We made those decisions. Those are just things that we do quite naturally. What time am I going to leave for services? Sometimes some are late. Maybe it's because they don't really give a lot of thought to something like that. What time should I leave to not be late? And you made decisions this afternoon. Am I going to take a nap or not take a nap? So if you didn't take a nap, now's not the time. So you already made your decision. You didn't nap. You don't nap now. I think you get my point. Every day you have choices. But, you know, many of our choices really are kind of mundane. It's not really, they don't have any bearing on anything. You know, am I going to have Captain Crunch? Am I going to have Honey Bunches of Oats? What am I going to eat? Those are just decisions that really don't have a whole lot of consequence. I guess those are sugary treats, so it may have consequences on your blood sugar. But, you know, in our scripture reading, Martha had choices. And there are choices that do revolve around our spiritual well-being. And things like, should I say that? Should I wear this? Should I do this over that? And so we do make decisions that, of course, have consequences and affect our spiritual well-being. And so our text this afternoon, let's all go over to Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, we have really a story that we're familiar with, but it is a story that I appreciate because from verse 38 to 42, there is just a lot to be found in this short, brief story that has been recorded for us. All scripture is given to us, and there is lessons to learn, and we have this story here about Martha and Mary and Jesus. So the story is that of Martha and the choice that she made. She made a choice, and then in reality, she had another choice to make. And so she makes a choice, and then she's really got to make another choice. And I don't know that I've really given a whole lot of thought to the choice that now is confronting her at the end of this, but it certainly would be, what is she going to do? So Brother Gary read verse 38. And so if you look again at verse 38, you'll see that Martha has a home, and Jesus has entered into the house of this lady. And she is a very loving and welcome person, and she has welcomed the Savior. I can't stress that enough. She has welcomed Jesus the Christ, God in the flesh, who left heaven and came and took upon flesh. He is in her home. So let's pick up our reading then in verse 39. She had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." This is a family, as we go through the Gospels, that Jesus has gotten very close with. You know, our verse, Jesus wept, was when he learned that Lazarus has died. He knew he was going to die. He knew what he was going to do. But I think it really got to him when he saw how upset Mary and Martha were. And so he would frequent this house in the Scriptures. It was a place that he was very familiar with. This is a family that I would say, became very dear friends to him. And we see where he would enter their home. And on this occasion, Jesus has come into the house and he begins to teach. And we might say that he begins to preach. He begins to speak. And Mary sat down and at Jesus' feet and she began to listen to the things that Jesus was saying. But Martha, as the text says, Martha is buzzing around. She's going here and she's going there, it seems, and she's taking care of this and she's taking care of that, and she's serving her guest. And that's a fantastic quality. That is something that's very important. It might be something that we might even say is lacking these days. But you know, I have a vivid picture. There's things that I remember about my grandmother, and you have to remember that my dad was the youngest in his family. And so when you think about all my cousins and, you know, I don't remember how many I have, but it's a lot on my dad's side. And so we're the younger of the cousins. And so my grandmother was in her 80s and 90s. I mean, grandma was, you know, she was already aged, if you would. But my memory of my grandmother is her, when the family would come, and of course, the family home became where everybody would come, and because we lived there, we got to see everybody that came. All the cousins came to see grandmother, and so we got to see them. It wasn't like the other cousins that were in different places. Anybody that came to visit from wherever they came, we got to see our cousins, and so grandma was always serving. And I've got a picture that I took with my little 110 camera where I said something and my mom and my grandmother turned away from the dishes and I snapped a picture of their horror because I didn't know what I was doing. It was a very candid picture, but I came across that the other day. And so, you know, my memory is just grandma always about doing this and doing that. And you can picture, you're probably thinking of somebody like that, that they're just going about, they're serving, they want to make sure that you're comfortable. But here's what happens. Martha takes notice that her sister Mary wasn't helping her. And think with me for just a moment how perturbed she came. Now, I don't have a sister, but I'm looking at two sisters. And I'm thinking these two right here probably have some stories to tell where they got on one another's nerves. And I'm looking at a couple other sisters over here and how... you can just picture, and I don't know that we're told if Martha is older and Mary is the younger. It just seems in my mind that that's the way that is, and maybe it's because the way that their names are listed. But you can see Martha looking out, and she's sweating, and she's busy. This is a day where there's no air conditioning, and she sees her sister sitting there, and she's struggling to make sure everybody has everything. And so she became perturbed about that. And so I think that we can understand some of this. But think about what she did. She was so worked up about this, that Jesus the Christ, the Savior, is teaching, and she approaches him. She interrupts him while he is teaching and preaching. It'd be like somebody coming and saying, "Stacy, I know you're preaching, but could you get, you know, my sister, my brother," you see how out of place that was? Let me show you, hold your place. Let me show you another. Just flip ahead to the 12th chapter. Let me show you an example of this. So here is some things that Jesus is teaching. Verse 8 of Luke 12. "Also I say to you that whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man will also confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But to him who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Then one in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus is talking and teaching about very important things, and here's this man out of the blue in the crowd that says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." This is, again, very similar. Do you see that? Well, siblings can really get under your skin. That's just a fact. I've got brothers. I know exactly. In fact, I was telling my brother, he's been organizing something, and he'll tell me something about family, and I'll go, "Well, that's family, isn't it?" And I get a text back, "Yeah." "That's part of dealing with family, isn't it?" "Yeah." Well, we understand that our siblings can really get under skin. But here's what I want us to understand as a lesson for us. Just like that other man in Martha, there's a phrase today that we use. It's called situation awareness. Situation awareness. She has lost all awareness of the situation that she has found herself in. She is so upset about this. So upset with her sister. Notice what she says back in our text. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Do you not care? Therefore," I want you to think about this. Jesus is teaching, and she says to him, "Therefore, tell her to help me." Stop the whole situation and said, "Jesus, you tell Mary to get in here and help me." A little bit of a situation awareness problem. The Messiah is in her home. She's a fine lady. And she interrupts him to complain about her sister. Just like that other man. "Tell my brother." The Messiah is in her home. Martha, it says, was distracted with much serving. She was distracted in verse 40. And that's a problem. What would you say to Martha in a family situation like that? Put yourself in this situation. And I can tell you, I thought about, well, you know, I can think of a few situations where, you know, we're kind of drawing attention to ourselves as a family, and it's kind of get awkward because there's people around that have no business listening to the family squabble. I'm thinking of one on a monorail at Disney World. Ask me to tell you about that sometime. And, of course, I'm probably getting this and that from Lisa and trying to kick me, and the kids are sitting in the seats big-eyed like, "What in the world is going on?" But it was me and my brother. Me and my brother. About my younger brother. So, again, are we aware of our situation? So here's what's happened. What would you say? What would you say to Martha when she's done this? To say the least, it's a very awkward family moment. It's one of those that when reality sets in, we should be ashamed, we should blush, we should feel some type of embarrassment. She's distracted. So getting a guest in your house to get onto your sister, and it's Jesus who's in your house. Do you see how just putting it that way, that's what's going on. And so what it does is it made me think about Martha. And you remember I said that this is a close family. He's close to them. Close to his death, he's going to go into Bethany. He's going to be there. So it made me think about just how comfortable they had become with Jesus being around. And it kind of happens. It kind of happens. For example, somebody might say, "Oh, you're a preacher." "Yes." Well, for a while, they may watch what they say. But then they kind of get comfortable and they start letting the foul words fly. So, again, it just makes me wonder just how comfortable. I hope that you're thinking maybe about a time that you were kind of unaware of your surroundings. you may have already thought, yeah, I know what he's talking about. So just like the man who drastically changes the subject, you know, he's thinking Jesus is preaching, he's got a subject, and this happens, right? We're in a thing and somebody raises their hand and off you go chasing a rabbit and in a hole, right? And we're like, well, how did we get over there? So here's a man who drastically changed the subject, and Martha has interrupted the teacher that is teaching. It was not the time nor place to make a scene about her sister. Do you understand that? This was not the time to make a scene about her sister. So we're going to look at what Jesus said. I asked you, you know, what would you say? Well, the first thing Jesus said is he did not say, Martha, Martha, Martha. He said, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Do you know anybody like that? That's just everything just troubles them. They're anxious, they're worriers. It doesn't take much to upset the apple cart. Was it wrong for Martha to be serving? It was not wrong for Martha to be serving. And I want you to notice the parable that was taught right before this in Luke chapter 10. It's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And the parable of the Good Samaritan is a man who was selfless, went out of his way to care for his neighbor at his own expense. He served him. He loved his neighbor. He cared about him. I think Martha loves her company. I think she loves these people. And then right after that parable, we have this particular story. She was distracted. That man was selfless. He was a good neighbor, serving his fellow man. But the text added the word distracted. She was distracted with her much serving. And Jesus adds the words, you are worried and troubled. So the text says she's distracted. Jesus adds the words worried and troubled. And sometimes I was thinking about, you know, the scenario of grandparents. Why is it that grandparents don't think that anything the grandkids do is bad? And one aspect might be that time and experience has taught them about how many things are really not a big deal in the scheme of things. So you think, well, that's not really the big thing. Wait till they get and this happens. And so we have those thoughts now as grandparents. But I know as a parent, when you're in the moment, it's not the grandparents' responsibility. And they may not have all the answers, and they may not understand all the situation. But sometimes we tend to look at a situation and we think that that's not a big deal. But Jesus also says, but one thing is needed. So you worry, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. What was the one thing? To sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. That's the one thing. Why? Because Jesus' words, you remember when in John chapter 6, they followed him no more. And Jesus asked his disciples, his apostles, are you going to leave? What did Peter say? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6 and verse 68. Jesus has the words of eternal life. And you remember at around the well with the Samaritan woman? She's like, give me that water. I want that water. Jesus was just talking about the things that I'm teaching you, the things, who I am will provide you a water, a living water. But there are many distractions. But oftentimes there's just one thing that is needed. The one thing that should take precedence over all the other things. And we need to be perceptive enough to notice it. And that's a big part of this. You remember, situation awareness would say, this is not the time or place. You know, Martha, you know, you're sitting there, oh my, you know, I'm getting all worked up, all distracted, but this is not the time and place to get onto my sister. And it certainly wouldn't be the time to interrupt Jesus and tell him, you tell my sister to get in here and help me. That's being perceptive. And sometimes we're not really perceptive to the situation that we have found ourselves in. You remember the Wednesday night invitation just this past Wednesday, just the brief thought that I gave was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And my point simply was, what Jesus is teaching is that there is a priority. We have to recognize and prioritize things. And we need to make sure that we are thinking about our spiritual well-being. And we can neglect our spiritual well-being because we are too focused on our family. Maybe we're too focused on our job, and we're not perceptive to see that that our spiritual well-being is being neglected. And so there is this one thing. One thing is needed, and we need to be able to discern that in situations. Be able to be perceptive enough to know our, you know, what's going on and make that decision about what is the one thing that is needed. But Jesus also said, Mary has chosen the good part. In that moment of time, remember we started off the lesson by choices. We all have choices. And Martha had choices. And Mary had chosen the good part. And in the moment, there was a choice to be made. Sit at the feet of Jesus or get at the much serving that was going on. You see, there was a choice to be made. I thought of an illustration about this. When I moved to Wisconsin to preach, two doors down was a lady, a neighbor. It was just her. And she actually attended the denomination that you could walk to. I mean, literally, I was trying to think, there's like a side street. We sat on the corner, and then there's the next street. And it's set right there. I mean, from my backyard, little backyard, you could see where she attended. And I remember her telling me how much she liked, really, she found her calling, if you would, in serving. So think about what she's saying. While everybody's worshiping, she's getting everything ready. She's getting everything ready. So when they're done, they can come down to the kitchen and all, and the coffee's ready and everything's ready. So how is she serving? She's serving by neglecting worship. So she's doing all this so everybody else can worship. And you might say, well, that's awful kind of her. But you see how distracting and wrong that is? And not really understanding what's going on. And what happens is you end up serving yourself. And so Mary had made the good choice to forgo. Think about Mary's decision. Mary saw, wait a minute, Jesus is in the house and I'm going to sit and listen to him. And she made the decision that this isn't important. Serving everybody is not important. There's something more important, and I'm going to do that. And sometimes it's a matter of, we make this point, and rightfully so, there's good, better, and best. Now, all three of those is there's nothing wrong with them. Good, better, and best. It's the ability to say this is the best thing to be doing. This is the right choice. This is the good part, and I'm going to do that. And again, it's being perceptive enough to understand the situation to make that kind of decision. I assure you that I am not going to starve to death, even though we use that phrase, I'm starving to death. I could go days. So this is not a matter of anybody's going to die and pass out because they're going to put off eating or whatever serving's going on. So again, sometimes it's, you know, we think that something's very important and we just need to shut things down and do what is best. And then he also said to Martha, he said, what Mary has done, the choice that she's made. Now remember, she said, tell her to come and help me. And Jesus said, this is not going to be taken away from her. Her choice was the good part, and that's not going to be taken away from her. So I don't know what kind of emotion, because the text doesn't tell us. Is this one of those situations where you realize you've turned beet red and you're embarrassed and you really are ashamed of what's just happened? I mean, Jesus has just told Martha, your sister's doing the right thing, and I'm not going to take that away from her. Now, I mentioned she had another choice. The text doesn't tell us. Did she go back in and shut everything down and take a seat and let all that trouble and anxiety and worry go away? The text doesn't tell us, but you know, you would have a decision to make when he just said, and you know, if we were writing this, we might say, why don't you take a seat next to your sister? But that's not what's said. So she had made a good choice. And he's not going to tell Martha, go help Mary, rather, go help Martha. He wasn't going to take her opportunity to learn away from her. Now there are, let's just blank that out here. These few verses, as I was thinking about this, are just packed. I mean, just packed with all kinds of challenging, self-reflecting things. And I'll mention them in the lesson is yours. What kind of choices am I making with regards to a subject like this? Am I choosing the good part during our day? Are you? Am I? Am I aware of my surroundings, when I get frustrated? You know, that's when we start getting frustrated and troubled, and we don't make very good decisions. We make rash ones. And we don't think clear enough to know to keep it to ourselves, to be quiet. And then I thought of the reality that siblings can test your patience. You got to wonder, would she have done this with somebody else? Think of some other lady that had come and was sitting at the feet of Jesus, or did she just, it was Mary that was getting under her skin? And we need to listen to Jesus by studying the Word. And of course, we don't have the ability to have Jesus in our home and sit at His feet physically, but we have His Word. And we need to take the necessary time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. Listen to the things that He has to say. How about, am I distracted with the lesser things of life? The lesser things of life? I've been thinking about that one a lot because, again, we have to prioritize. And we have to think about these things, and we have to think about, well, what's most important. And I also thought of the fact that serving others is a noble calling. Well, Martha, again, she's a fine lady. I'm convinced she believed in Jesus. When her brother dies, she understands a lot of things about who Jesus is and what to expect. But sometimes it's necessary to sit still and quietly listen to the Lord and we're left wondering, what did Martha do? Hopefully you've been able to relate in some ways to that, to where you thought of your own situation. I certainly have, even as I'm going through this. I've told others, you know, when you're preaching, your mind's grown in six different ways, and I'm like, oh yeah, I thought about that too. Should I share that now? you have to make a decision. Am I going to do that or not do that? But I hope that you've been able to make some application there in your own life. Well, Craig has selected our invitation song. It's number 344, if you want to take out your songbook and turn. We always give an opportunity when we've assembled together to make sure that if there's something that's wrong in our life as a Christian, that we can make correction of that publicly, if it needs to be made publicly. If there's a need for prayer because of discouragement, or maybe you've, you know, the message is stepped on your heart where you're, you know, you realize you're troubled about a lot of things and you could use the prayers, we want to do that. Or maybe you do need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and come confessing your belief in Christ, turning from your sin and being baptized to wash your sins away. If you're subject in any way, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.